Blog Talk Radio.
Deeper. Welcome and hello to Masonic Effects. It's a pleasure to have you joining us again today after an interlude. We had a break last week for technical problems, I guess you'd say. We apologize to those of you who tuned in and were disappointed. First, wherever you are on the surface of the globe, I want to say a hearty hello and hope that you are safe and well to our listeners in the Philippines, particularly, and in the Americas, it's storms of greater intensity and more frequency are affecting us globally. Our solutions out of this, because this isn't a sovereign issue around storms and weather, you know, that's our condition for existence. It's going to take the cooperation of all of us, each and every one of us. And while at times that might seem a remote possibility, we either have to feel that at the core of our humanity is an inclination to work and support one another, but that means confronting some of the demons that plague us, that have plagued us. Can we continue to do what we do best, which is conduct wars and destroy, truly, sadly, they destroy a living thing, and do something to ensure that there's a future, ensure the health of the planet? It's a diabolical question, better that if we have people around us that are unable to face these kinds of trends and things that are going on, better that they put their head back in the sand or cover themselves up pull a blanket up over their heads. But for the rest of us, we need to understand that in our way, we can influence an outcome. That's truly important. We think rarely in our day-to-day business about the globalization. But we do know that around the world, the majority of people live in cities. And we know that those cities have an energy. And that's where, right now, a great deal of creativity is occurring. We have so much creativity that it's pushing systems aside. Systems of control and accountability. How do you take the time, slow things down so that the work of developing patents can go through. So we have this big issue of intellectual property being stolen. That's the way it's being described by certain litigators or legislators. And yet it's not it's not slowing down innovation. It's actually straining at the harnesses that are holding it back. The world, in a way, is able to communicate. If you have an electronic device near you, you and I can communicate with a person anywhere on the planet, pretty much. So our degrees of separation have gone from seven to what? In that sense, one. But this puts a different aspect on our order that the order where we have the old boys, if you will, passing on a legacy to the new, with the hopes that we will preserve and respect the ancient landmarks. That happens whether the old boys are well schooled or not, whether they're even conscious of it, that this is what they're doing. They do have a purpose, and as well as having that sense of self-development and improvement, we are an organization that is essentially based on integrity. Now, that isn't to say that we're defined. The definitions, if you ask any one of us, that our definitions are complete. But at the very least, we need to be sure that we're dealing with the challenges, that we're not coming across as misogynistic and out of step. And we have different jurisdictions that the world out there knows little and cares little about. We're an order that is measured generically. A Freemason is a Freemason is a Freemason, unless you're a Freemason. So the next time somebody asks about, the question about misogyny, think seriously before you start to stand up on your male hind legs and talk about something that is going to make us all look quite out of step and foolish. It impacts on all of us. Yes, masonry is accessible, very accessible to women, and has been for many, many years. Get into it. Be serious instead of creating some spin by saying it isn't, because we know darn well that the Orient in France has worked favorably for many, many years with women. It's like saying that we are going to answer the question why in England that the coffee shops, the 17th century coffee shops, were essentially man dens, places where women were not allowed, if you can imagine, but that was the social stratification of the day, and France, where they were. And for what reason? What reason? Social stratification? Is that the sense of male dominance? We really begin to sound quite foolish if that's the really out of step. And look around, brethren. Look around, listeners. This is no time for us to be out of step because the world is crying out for the likes of us. What's going to galvanize and hold things together? Well, somewhere along the line, we need to be, as imperfect as we are, a voice of reason, not a voice of ridiculousness. Our order is what it is. It has a pulse. But as we hand, what we hand to the next generations needs to be, come on, you need to look at yourself. It needs to be a bit more polished. And it isn't about going out and doing more. It's not a competition. Freemasonry is not a competition. It is a gentle, you've heard it repeatedly referred to as the gentle craft. Ask yourself why you think that would come down to us. Why? Why the gentle craft? Why not the a muscular argument, the insult? Why is it so difficult for us to speak truth without sounding menacing or rude or thick? Why? Well, it isn't, not in its entirety. If you've heard those people throwing mud at us, claiming that there is a higher order, a core within the core that has more of the secrets. Well, I think in a way, yes, I think that's true. But the secrets here, I'm going to reveal them to all those hardliners that the secret is you, these are people that have drank the Kool-Aid. They've listened to the ethics and values of Freemasonry. And it's they've worked very hard. It's always, I think, in all fairness, a work in progress. But the to listen in silence, to listen carefully, to not be speaking. Aude vide tace. Aude, to listen, to watch, and in silence. How difficult is it, diabolical? Oh, easy to say, it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? But harder to apply when you have that kind of room where there's a thoughtful discussion taking place, and it's expected, and it happens not once by accident, but over and over. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And I'm going to ask you to do that, to believe in the values and the manner of Freemasonry, just as we do when we're addressing the Master of the Lodge. We do things in a particular way that bring dignity to the order. Though, and I've seen, some of the boys sitting on their rumps while they're speaking quite extemporaneously in lodge. And I simply know that they haven't been mentored, they haven't been taught. So if we are, and we are, going to pass on what we know and what we value about the order to the next the generations coming behind us, let's at least make it the excellence of the order and not the mediocrity that can, that domesticity brings. This isn't about keeping a careful set of books, although that's important. It's not about the argument over the font on the to be used in publishing the summons. And it's not about whether we should go back to the days where everything was mouth to ear. That time is only exists only in our imagination anymore. Only in our imagination. And there are those bodies around the world where that kind of intensity does exist even to this day. And yes, there is that continuity, but it is not going to search you out, and it's certainly not going to advertise its existence, but it's there for the trusted. And the trusted aren't the gadflies that will yak away like a bag of chattering little chipmunks. That's us. We chatter a lot, and if you, it's not too hard, and you know, it's not too hard to find somebody that will be chattering away to somebody outside the order. Even the premise that this is something private is lost to a lot of people these days. And what do? We prevail, we carry on. And you know who's going to help us do that today? We have great, a really interesting commentary. Imagination, discovery, application. I mean, what could be more obvious? So as we're handling this, think of this as notion of this torch that we're passing on, that was passed on to us in whatever tarnish, it might have been tarnished, you know, maybe the grip of the people that came before us was sweaty and covered with dirt and oil. Well, maybe we have soft and uncalloused hands from our labors. Or maybe our hands are scarred and sunburned and tanned. Do we burnish the torch? Probably. And do we have the opportunity to be thoughtful about what we're doing and our purpose? And oh my goodness, much, much more to talk, but we're going to be sharing with you. And to our Russian listeners, I will confess, today it was a hard, I would be completely satisfied by just reading, sharing Russian poetry on here completely, but anyway, today it's another William Wordsworth, and no apologies necessary, I think, of course, here with the generosity. To our Cameroon and Ugandan listeners, this is part of and now it's become part of a lexicon, it's become part of a lingua franca. So here, listen and enjoy and sit back, and to our, to Brazil, your struggles and for accountability, remarkable, remarkable. Hear, hear. And to India, oh, we only wait for the mysteries and the legacy that is India to be shared with the world. And the calmness and the deliberation of China, our listeners there, are washing over us here in North America, washing over us. And all of this happens at the feet of what I think are the grandparents of masonry, the Scotland and the UK and Ireland and France. I think of that as, you know, when I think about culture in my own way, I think, well, my goodness, we were so advanced, and then I discover China was doing it 1,000 years earlier. It's an amazing world when you you have curiosity. Here, be quiet, Graham. Kenny Burrell, he'll say it much better than I ever could. This is, there will never be another you. Broke the mold with us. Check this out. Thank you. Like a sigh, isn't it? Just, yeah. Let's sit back and enjoy the moment. Savor that. Here's a commentary that I think you're going to like. Yeah, we are a fraternal order in all that the vicissitudes. And we can stop trying to use old and ancient language. We don't have to do that. The ancients didn't. They used what was current. And as a matter of fact, if you think about it, since the past exists only in our imagination, and we were able to see the faces of the people in Lodge, and largely become quite comfortable with them. And depending on the setting, we aren't hearing the loudishness. We don't remember that. We remember the polish, the finesse, the best. And those faces are familiar to us because they are you. They are you. The same dreams, the same vicarious history, they are what they are, people with lives and aspirations. They are you. So tell me, what's the workings of the Lodge like? Is it perfect in every way? Probably not. But do our secretaries and scribes adequately portray a picture of our history? Afraid not. A couple of jottings that are, you could flip through some of the Lodge books, you can flip through whole years and they tell us nothing. Nothing. But that's not on them, that's on us. They haven't been adequately instructed. So today, here's a little bit of adequate instruction. We're 6 days from the spring and fall equinox. Depends with our fellows in the southern hemisphere, they're anticipating spring, and I heard a beautiful line, we're leaving the sultry summer for the coziness of fall. I just love that imagery, you know, it's cozy. Put on a fire, open up a book and a glass of wine or some, you know, some of that tea. Do you ever have Turkish coffee? It's just, oh, you know, cardamom? There's just something about it. It's so sweet and thick. Anyway, you fill up your glass with whatever you have. Glass of you can join me today. I have a nice bit of espresso sitting next to me. This is imagination, discovery, and application. A little worm for your Masonic mind. Mm-hmm. Behind every discovery, our curious minds with imaginations that move beyond what is to what could be. Freemasonry is an explosion of imagination. It is the fusion of past, present, future into a moment in time with unwritten landmarks, unenforceable obligations, principles, and ethics. We can only marvel that it ever existed at all. If not for a capricious moment in time, chemicals mix spontaneously with little thought of the long-term consequence, masonry would have remained a practice for the Highlands. Time passes and lets us sanitize history. Average men become heroes. Hard work and diligence becomes a talent. For every moment, for every problem science answers, it produces more questions, as does masonry. As if 500 years vanished in the blink of an eye, Masons today are applying the tenets of masonry in a variety of forms. There's always a push and a pull. Push wants us to advertise accomplishments and generosity. Pull cautions us to be prudent, understated, and in control. Keith Jarrett Trio. You deserve nothing less than the best. It's one of my most favorite. Just amazing, amazing performer. We have an opportunity here again to listen to somebody that has been able to capture the soul of the earth, as poets are often have been referred to. What role do they perform? Everything about them seems to be in balance. We're 6 days from the equinox. So, but the theme of everything being in balance shouldn't be lost to us. Wordsworth. This is from William Wordsworth. He's a fellow born in 1770, so after the Baroque and Rococo periods, after the Reformation and Counter-Reformation, and he was educated. He was he had an interesting grasp on the sense of the world. He was a well-educated man, and this is not the syrupy kind of notion of romanticism, but we're entering in a period of romanticism in literature. It was simply to mean that people were connecting with the environment in different ways than had been done before. The restraint of the clergy had all but melted away. Not to say that anything was lost. That would be a bit like saying that the presence, the very existence of Venice was somehow a loss to the world. Well, really, the Medici, perhaps it was the wanting to make a statement that could be left for throughout all history, where they gathered the talent. Maybe it was, but think about what it produced: the Donatelli, the Brunelleschi, the Da Vinci, the Michelangelo, the Machiavelli. Anyone would dare to be so presumptuous to say that wasn't significant. And it taught Venice alone. Venice taught was the outlet for the restraint, social restraint of a lot of other places in Europe. And it was that crossroads, that mixture, where it wasn't like, my goodness, it certainly wasn't like the state that we're in today, where we lead with, you know, as if integrity is wrapped up in the expression and our commitment to our faith. Really? That's all we've got? We're so much more than that. So much more. Check this out. This will give you an idea. This is his poem, Wordsworth's poem, The World is Too Much With Us. The world is too much with us, late and soon, getting and spending. We lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature that is ours. We have given our hearts away, a sordid boon. The sea that bears her bosom to the moon. The winds that will be howling at all hours and are upgathered now like sweeping flowers. For this, for everything, we are out of tune. It moves us not, great God. I'd rather be a pagan, suckled in a creed outworn, so might I, standing on this pleasantly, have glimpses that would make me less forlorn. Have sight of Proteus rising from the sea, or hear old Triton blow his wreathed horn. Wow, not bad. Not bad.
Is that Our love is here to stay.
Thank you, Spain. Thank you very, very much. That's amazing. Andrea Motis and the John Chamorro group. So young, so talented. Now, well, to continue, to carry on without sounding too ridiculous here today, I need to call on you to help me out. Help me. I need you to believe. In what? It's been a long time. Don't be ridiculous. I live in a world of hard, cold fact. Really? So, how do you account for sadness? How do you account for beauty? How do you account for inspiration of a sunrise or a storm when you're standing on the edge of shore watching the oceans and lakes just cascade? Act. Motion. I need you to believe in your imagination. Masonry has always toyed with us. It's always toyed with us just a little bit because it couldn't, if it started to give definitions for a way of thinking, it would be an indoctrination. We would all flee. We would all run away from that. That's government speak. You know, that's that spin. This is the way the people around us want us to think. Well, Masonry was a step away from that, not intolerant, but a step away. We reason things through, much more of the dialectic. We know that in the days, the rhetoric was taught. Rhetoric that, how do I say it? I'll be a bit clumsy about it, but it, the art of persuasion, saying things in a way to persuade you. Well, Masonic effect never took on that mantle. It's not here to persuade you of anything. It's to share. You look over the shoulder at the laboratory table. What do you see? Do you have questions? Well, of course, we're unfamiliar with this laboratory, and we know that it has something to do with the sciences. So we learn together, and the alchemist is busy at practice, and then we sit back and take a sharp breath. We understand what alchemy is about. We understand. We get it. Oh, should we crow it from the highest rooftops? Hell no. I want you to believe in imagination, your imagination. Think about everything that you could possibly have hoped for from our order. Whatever that is. No, don't say it out loud. These are the secrets of a Mason. They're locked away in our hearts. Think about that design, that outcome, that application that you have always wished for after you began to be rooted. Does it compare with mind? Well, that's not so important. It's your imagination. It's your belief in your imagination. Oh, we have the impatience of youth to overcome, and what replaces that is this sense of contemplation. And lodges, we're after the hustle and bustle of lodge meeting. They're a place of calmness and tranquility. If you sit in lodge, after the room, everybody has taken off their aprons and left, the room has that stillness to it. And it's like this cleansing. It's like a detoxification. Masonry is that you leave the cares of the world at the door. And what do you replace that with? Well, first you just empty your mind of those cares. And that's not always easy. You see some people with that demeanor, they're very dour demeanor. It's just become habit. You see that competition, it's just become habit. I'm going to be something someday. They have nothing to contribute to the order with that, but they'll learn. They're young. They don't need to be challenged and taken toe-to-toe. You need to be respected for being naive. Maybe this is the talent that we've always been looking for. Well, that's up to you and I to sharpen our skills, to recognize talent. Now, for goodness sake, do not be treating every single apprentice around us as if they're the bee's knees. That's that praise. You're wonderful. You're excellent. That embellishment. We stop embellishing. That doesn't mean there's a rudeness, a callousness, a thoughtfulness on the other side. No. There's a care and a concern, a reality. In order for you to do very well, these are the things I think would be beneficial. Your hard work and diligence that notion of talent, if you're just thinking that way, I'm afraid we may disagree. It's hard work. Well, what produces that that moment when somebody will take that on? That appetite. We tease that appetite. You know, you're good, but with a little more effort, you can get better. And I can take you, and the true mentor will realize, you know, I can take you to the first violin in the local symphony, but I think you have capability beyond. Maybe you're the Yo-Yo Ma, you know? So who are the best? Who are better than my current mentor? Well, the success of a mentor is to pass you on to the next and to the next. The people that your mentor respects. Entering is hard if you don't get it. These are the people that get it. And it's that truth, heart to heart, that truth. You know you're pretty good. It's like a music instructor at a university. I was taking an elective course and I was taking the violin and he said, you know, in order to be a virtuoso, a person needs to start when they're 6 or 7 years old. But he said, that's not to say you can't become an accomplished violinist and you can't enjoy it. But he was talking about the tangibles and intangibles of virtuosity. I'd never met anybody that had that perspective. And he was absolutely delightful in the way he expressed it. And it was, well, you know, I accept that as the truth. And so when we see these precocious little girls and boys coming along, it's not that they're a joke. They're the voice of what's going to occur, what's going to inspire us in the future. So those are people that are learning to be curious, to push themselves, to understand the kind of precision and absolutely enjoy the sense of creativity that comes with it. It's uncommon. We have so many teachers that are clamoring to make a dollar. Oh, we can wrap it up in a bit of Miss malfeasance and language, but of course it's a job. But the mentor isn't going through the motions. The mentor, this is where that world of imagination in Masonry. In your imagination, what would the mentor, the right mentor for you, have been? How would the mentor have sounded? Well, now you know how to be and how to sound and what to say to the apprentice. False praise. Mm-hmm. Mentors don't praise. Mentors encourage. At times they even inspire. We're going to pass on some amazing things to the next generations of Masons. There is that much. It's not a universal. It's not in every lodge, in every conversation. No. But like Masonic effects, I think this is like a table of foie gras. I don't like it every single meal. Well, maybe in some mornings, of course. And no, everybody's not, the world does not end if I have a glass of champagne in the morning for brunch, you know, sorry. Oh, I know, the Lutherans will run around with their hands flapping in the air. It's not true. Not true. No, it's not a moral decline. It's a red out of coffee, you know. No, we grow, and we grow together. You should believe in your imagination a little. It's not a license to be silly. It's a license to extend that sense out there to the people around you. And the hard thing is to sit still until they come to you. They come to you. Here's something that's going to come to you that I think we need to be able to have not an eidetic memory of everything going on around us. I love walking into a lodge where people are reading things and they sort of say it with that earnestness, as if everybody should know this. And I particularly like it when it comes as a challenge. Do you know about the third brick in the development of the wall? Yeah, really? Okay. Yeah. Or like, tell me what you've been reading. Tell me, it's the question that we ask or don't ask. Tell me what you've been studying or what's been fascinating you the last couple of months. Are you starting to develop your own short list of material that has inspired you in a Masonic reference? Is it only Masonic books by Masonic authors? What do I do with Tolstoy? What do I do with Shakespeare? What do I do, you know? If that's the case, so I shouldn't feel, you're not saying I shouldn't feel inspired by Pushkin or Baudelaire or, you know, no, of course not. We're here, love Snowy Nights and pick up Robert Service. It just works. Of course you're not saying that. We pass some things on, don't we? Here, we're going to pass on a bit about the oddity. We're such an odd group in this imagination. So come down there, jump down the rabbit hole with me just for a second here. And not to do this all the time. It'll become familiar. Think of it, if some of you have seen Tolkien's, the movies made from Tolkien's work, think of it as the Hobbit. Hobbitville, you know, Bag End. So we're going to walk down this pathway together, and we're seeing symbols around us. Now, they could be runes. If we're devilish and we're playful, we would take up the rune stones, put little runes on a stone and drop them along the path. Can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine when somebody comes along and has an emerging idea, and they know that somebody else was there. Well, masonry just has pockets full of those symbols. And as we walk along the pathway, they spill out of our pocket here and there, not any particular design. And they're there if we have our head up looking at the clouds all the time, it's wonderful. But sometimes we look down and it's amazing what we might see tucked away next to the toadstools and the mushrooms and the leaves that have fallen. A little bit of something about the symbolism. There's some evidence that suggests up to the time of the union of Grand Lodges, the name indicated in the Tetragrammaton was particularly associated with the third degree. Oh, that's a diabolical degree. Is this just about birth and life and death? Is that all? Oops. Not even. This is where our pockets become a little thread worn, and there's a hole in the pocket, and some symbols and ideas are leaking out. Tetragrammaton was associated before with one of the degrees. And you know, in the beginning of all this, the ritual was not carefully formed. And I'm thinking back to a time where there are lodges where they weren't beholding to a Grand Lodge to tell them how to what the ritual should be. They had something comparable and a contribution that formed the notions of Masonic ritual. Thank goodness. But we're looking at, we relate some of this to the work of a very valuable scholar, William Preston's lectures, that indicate that this was so that the Tetragrammaton is often found in early third degree tracing boards. And it's interesting to note that on a second degree tracing board designed by John Harris as late as 1845, there was an unusual use of the letter G and the Tetragrammaton. And on this board, through the door of the middle chamber, The letter G may be seen in a triangle surrounded by a gloria or a shekinah. But over the door to the middle chamber is a dormer. Do you ever look? Yeah. Normally a feature of Masonic illustrations of the Sanctum Sanctorum. And in the dormer, also enclosed in a shekinah, is the Tetragrammaton. And Harris is reputed to have been of Jewish origins. The board, with its companions for the other 2 degrees, was commissioned by the Emulation Lodge of Improvement and is in weekly use by all of them at Freemasons Hall, London. And this may be an indication that in the old third degree, the object of a search was the discovery of this word, and that to emphasize this, the second degree gave only a representation. In placing the G in a triangle and glory, Harris was doing what Hutchison had done 70 years before, and Harris had given the same treatment to the Tetragrammaton. So, take out your pencil, W.H. Ryans, R-Y-L-A-N-D, Ryans, in Notes on Some Masonic Symbols, gives a quotation which may indicate the origin of this treatment and could be the reason for the practice. I'll give you the quotation and we'll leave it off there. In ecclesiastical art in the 16th century, the deity was figured only by his name, inscribed within a geometrical figure. The triangle is the linear emblem of God and the divine Trinity. The name of God, or Jehovah, was inscribed in Hebrew letters within the triangle, and both the name and figure were placed in the center of the radiating circle, symbolic of eternity. Now, to embrace the universality of a belief in the deity, how would that be worded in the language of Islam or Hindi or Buddhists? Or deists like me? Anyway, it's been an absolute joy to have you here today, to enjoy together, believing in your imagination about masonry. It can be a kindness. So if you're feeling that you need to rush around, well, that's perfectly understandable. But when you do sit down and take a moment of self-directed care for yourself, something that was often dismissed in our childhood, being taught how to take care of ourselves. Funny that, huh? So if you were those little pods of labor where we were brought into this world and trained to do for money, to do for family, to do for others, this I'd like you to do for yourself. Tony Bennett and Diana Krall will take us out of here. I look forward to being with you again next week. It'll be the day after Equinox. Everything will be out of balance. So for those of you who are looking forward to spring, enjoy. I hope it's beautiful, because where I am, I'm looking forward to the fall. To our Austrian listeners and listeners in France, we're bundling up a little bit. It's sweater weather. And to our listeners in India, and to Russia and South Korea, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Thanks for joining us. See you.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, they can't take that away from me.
The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, they can't take that away from me.
We may never meet again.
zero to love.
But I'll always, always keep the memory of
the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me.
Take that away.